Unlimited Influence Podcast, episode 57. The biggest benefit from having your own business is freedom. The freedom to work when you choose, to create the income you want, and to create your perfect life. The reality is it's not always easy though, so it's important to surround yourself with the right people. Join us in my free Facebook community at the Freedom Fast Track and surround yourself with a network of business owners and entrepreneurs who are out there walking their talk just like you. The Freedom Fast Track, because it's time to take your business and life to a whole new level. Hey everyone, Samantha Riley here, and I'm super excited to be welcoming today's featured guest, Oz Kona. Oz is the marketing director and owner of localmarketingstars.com. He's been a lifelong entrepreneur and his two bestseller books, with the most recent being Ultimate Guide to Online Marketing for Small Businesses. Welcome to the show, Oz.
Great to hear, Samantha. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited. We've had a little chat before we started recording, and I know that you've got a ton of value that you're going to be sharing today. But, you know, that was a super brief intro. But before we begin, I'd love you to pull back the curtain a little and give us a sneak peek into who you are and what makes you tick.
Yeah, absolutely. I started my entrepreneurial journey when I was 7 years old, believe it or not. Back in the day, I grew up in Turkey, and all the shopping was done in pretty much flea markets or open area markets. And usually where I grew up is super hot, and you got to do your shopping in a matter of a couple of hours, and it's sweltering out there. And there's no source to, back in the day, there was no bottled water, so I didn't want to super thirsty. So as I was walking around with my mom and doing our shopping, I noticed that everyone is thirsty. And I thought about it, and I said, if I go back home and pick up a pitcher and a glass and come back and offer water to people, I think they would enjoy that. Not thinking about selling it, but I saw a problem, and I thought that would be a good solution. So after doing a couple of trips, I noticed that people are starting offering me money for this, thinking that I'm actually selling water. So that was the first entrepreneurial journey. I didn't turn into a major company or anything like that. I was 7 years old. It was definitely worth those back and forth trips to make a lot of money for a 7-year-old.
Yeah, absolutely.
So since then, of course, a lot has changed, but I never forgot that story. I guess the lesson from the story is when you see a pain point that people are struggling to find a solution to, and you offer that solution, they pay you dearly, and also you become to go to person or expert. So I applied that concept throughout college. I studied 2 degrees, biology and chemistry, totally unrelated to marketing, but my heart was always on the sales part and marketing and how I can help other small businesses. Then in the last year of my college, I started my first company selling merchandise at flea markets. Then I started my agency. Ever since then, I mean, it started out as a web design company. Now we're a major lead generation company in the area of small business marketing. So that's my little journey that brought me here so far.
I love it. And straight off the bat, you know, what you said was so valuable, that when there's a pain point, people will pay money to have you fix it. So look for the pain point, since, you know, I think at the moment a lot of people are talking about, you know, do your passion, and I very much believe that, but there's got to be a pain point on the other side of that passion. Otherwise, there's nothing there, really.
I absolutely agree. Yes, to your point, yeah, a lot of people talk about following your passion, but you should never forget that your passion should be a solution for somebody's major problem. If that's not the case, you can still have that passion, but it might not be a great business idea.
That's right. And so, and you can find maybe a different vehicle to get to that same passion. Yeah, that's a very worthwhile thing to think about. I remember one of my mentors saying, if there's not a who that can pay, there's no business.
There's no business, yes. You can all be motivated about it and pumped about it. I think that's one of the reasons more than 85% of the businesses fail within the first 15 to 18 months. They get excited about what they do, but they don't understand that market doesn't work with feelings, right? There's a demand. Either they are looking to supply a desire that they have, or there's a demand and pain point, and they're looking for products and services for that. If you're that person, no matter who you are, whether you're male, female, your ethnicity, your religion, doesn't matter, it will reward you. If that's not the case, you'll be punished, unfortunately.
So at the moment, you're running your business, Local Marketing Stars. Obviously, it's marketing. Can you tell us more about it, and specifically, who do you serve?
Yeah, we focus on businesses small to mid-size, a little over $1 million in revenue, and they already do spend money for marketing. And we're mostly in the service industry. And what we do is primarily lead generation. So we don't go so much into social media marketing or content creation. We focus more on how do we, what is the shortest distance from where they are right now and to their desired outcome. It could be four more clients per month, 10 more clients per month, or it could be a revenue number that they're having difficulty getting to. And we set up marketing funnels and systems in place to help them go from where they are to the next level.
Mm. I love that you're focusing on the outcome and how you're going to get them there. I was just having a conversation with someone yesterday saying that I think a lot of business owners get into a little bit of trouble because they design their outcome moving forwards without really understanding what their outcome is. So they end up going way off track to where they were hoping to go, where what you're saying is you need to know exactly what it is that the outcome that you're trying to get to and then reverse engineering that process to make that happen.
100%. And we spend a lot of time to help entrepreneurs get to that level. Just like you said, they are getting bombarded like from different sources with so many different marketing messages, and they're quite confused what they need to do. Is it social media they need to be managing, or do they need to focus on SEO, or should they be writing an article, or should they go back to doing more direct mail? It's just they don't know what it is that they need to do, and usually that ends up being with a syndrome of bright, shiny object.
Mm-hmm.
They jump one thing to another, and then they conclude that either their business is not the right fit or the tools do not work. Let's not forget that tools are tools. They will do a great job if you match them to the right project. Mm-hmm. Facebook is great if you do the right things with that. And to your point, a lot of times when I sit down with business owners, instead of focusing on what vehicle we're going to be using, we focus more on where they are right now and where they want to go and what is really stopping them right now from getting there.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Now, we were having a chat before, and you were telling me about one of your clients that you helped make $450,000 in 30 days through Facebook marketing. Would you be able to tell us who was this magical client, and how did you get those results?
It was actually a friend of mine, and we've known each other for a while. I know he ran multiple companies, but his latest gig was he wanted to bring comedians from different countries to accommodate to the ethnic groups in the United States. So he wanted to bring celebrities from other countries, and he wanted to set up shows for them so he can bring different ethnic groups and sell the tickets and become the expert in that area. The first year was not that good. He tried that. He brought three people, one from Iran, I believe, one from somewhere from Europe, and one from Turkey. And he had major difficulties selling the tickets because he had assumed that he had an email list, and once he blasts an email, that would be fine. And he also had contacts that he had built up over the years, that if he makes a bunch of phone calls to those contacts and it would go viral, well, it didn't really work out that way.
Mm.
And when you're promoting a show or any type of event, timing is super important because you're constantly running out of time until you get to the day of the event, and you either make it or you don't make it. Like, it's tough to explain a half full room to an international celebrity, and you happen to have a really bad reputation when they go back to their country. So he didn't want to repeat his first year, and we were having a discussion, and naturally, I brought up the concept of, like, have you tried Facebook ads? This algorithm is super complex and advanced. It allows you to target people in specific locations based on their ethnicity, their buying habits, their entertainment habits, and so many different metrics that you can target based on. And he had no idea. I said, all right, so let's test it out. Why don't I take on this project when you bring this new comedian from overseas? And we had 45 days, and our job was to sell at least 70% of the tickets, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in less than 30 days, the entire show was sold out, and he made $425,000 and almost $426,000, to be exact, through Facebook ads only. So he was super shocked, obviously, how it worked out, since he knows that I don't have any contacts in the entertainment industry. So it's not like I called a bunch of people to sell the tickets. It was Facebook ads and a bunch of videos from this comedian. Like, we took sections of that and we used the power of video and put it in front of the right audience, and the rest is magic. People to jump on it, and we used, like, different marketing strategies such as scarcity. Like, he's going to be only here for one show. Then he will disappear, so you're not going to probably see him again. And And we also used that, hey, tickets are going away because this is the size of the room is obviously it takes only a certain number of people. So using those tactics in cooperation with the right copy and the right messaging and the right audience, it just creates magic. And nothing has changed since then. And when we apply the same principle to many different businesses from different industries, it gives similar results. As long as there is demand for it, as long as there's an audience who's capable of paying for the product or service that you have, you can just make it work. Facebook is so far, in my belief, is the best advertising platform for the same age.
Mm, totally. The numbers are staggering of people worldwide, and I haven't sat down with the numbers, but, you know, it's just such a popular medium, and, you know, with our smartphones now, it's being used even more and more. You know, people are looking at their smartphones and scrolling through their newsfeed while they're waiting for, you know, start to meet someone for coffee, in the ad break while they're watching TV, while they're waiting in the line at the grocery store. So, you know, that's where people are hanging out. So it's definitely worthwhile, you know, getting on the Facebook wagon if that's where your people are hanging out.
Absolutely. Yes, you've got to have the right system in place, because one thing to consider is that anyone can go on Facebook and start advertising. So you've got to have something that's going to break somebody's pattern. Just like you said, you might be sitting at a cafe and scrolling through your newsfeed. It is so easy to take another scroll and just go past through the ads that you put up. You work really hard for. I think one of the reasons that some businesses do really well with Facebook ads more than the other ones, they do a great job with opening, like breaking somebody's pattern, so they stop on their tracks and they check it. Then they connect it to the story they want to share. Then they push people to take an action because they want a specific outcome out of that. So when you make the right combinations that way, there's no reason why you shouldn't be selling or having opt-ins in any number that you want, because you don't have a problem of a limited audience. There are billions of people on Facebook, so no one can tell you that Facebook doesn't work for a certain area because there's not enough traffic. That's just really not the case. Mm-hmm. It's just, are you in a position to take advantage of that traffic?
Yeah. So for any small business owners or entrepreneurs who are listening that are on the wagon of Facebook advertising doesn't work, what are some tips that you could give them that they could tweak or pay attention to that may be able to turn their thinking around and have a Facebook ad that was bringing in some results?
Yeah, I can definitely make some suggestions. I mean, not a day passes by that, you know, I hear someone saying, I've tried everything, but everything doesn't work.
Right.
Facebook doesn't work. I spent thousands of dollars and no way it doesn't work for my industry. That's just not the case, right? There might be industries that maybe other avenues and vehicles might be a better fit, but for most of them, you can make it work. A lot of times why you think you're not getting the results that you want is either you're not really understanding the specifics of your audience. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that, you know, usually the comeback for that is, well, I've been in business for 50 years. Of course, I understand who my audience is. Mm-hmm. Well, what I'm saying is a little different than that. You might understand your audience the way they buy from you, but outside of your business, you really understand their habits and their likes and desires and pains. So, you got to take your ideal client. If you're an existing business, well, what I always suggest is take a piece of paper, write down your best customer, the one that who keeps buying from you, that you really enjoy the interaction. It's not a pain in the butt, and they treat you well, and they get treated, and you deliver the service, right? Mm-hmm. And write down all the qualities of that person, the age and the age group, the income, what they buy from you, how often they buy from you, what kind of phrases they use when they show their appreciation or their pain when they're describing the specific service they get from you. Like, make it mental or a note or on a piece of paper and just go through a couple of customers like that, and you're going to start seeing patterns of behavior or the phrases they use, because you need to build a vocabulary of what your customer uses to express their feelings. Because usually what happens is, especially in service-based businesses, the business owner wants to use terminology that might be familiar to themselves, but for the client, it might not mean anything, right? Always want to start with a question that resonates with their current situation, whatever they're going through right now. So there's got to be what we call hook. So you hook them with that question or pain point, or you call them out on something, then you build your story on top of that. So instead of writing off a channel saying that it doesn't work, just focus on your customer first, then focus on the best product or service that you have that will help that. That's the second part. Third one is, which many businesses, especially consultants and coaches, struggle with, is picking a vertical that you want to focus in. You can't be everything to everybody. And one of the challenges, I'm sure you experienced that too, whenever I tell someone to pick a vertical, the response is, well, what if I miss businesses on the other areas? Someone might need my services, and if I just say I'm just focusing in this area, I'm just leaving money on the table. Which is really not the case. You might lose money from the side, but once you focus your energy on a vertical, it's a lot easier to be the authority in that area and the expert, to be considered expert in that area. And when you speak to these people, you speak with confidence and you use the words they use, because you're focusing that area so much that you separate yourself from other people who might be marketing to a similar audience. So when you put those pieces together and put an offer in front of someone, that is difficult to resist. But the fourth part is testing. You know, there are so many marketers out there. No one give you a prescription. No one can give you a prescription that will work 100% of the time. Marketing is all about testing. When you have your ducks in a row, you start advertising, you can't give up on the first trial. You change different things to see what people will respond to, because your success or your failure depends on how your market responds to your offer, not what you think will do better, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the market determines that. Testing is a big thing, and I'm sure after enough testing, you'll find campaign that will hit the jackpot and you'll want to double down on that one.
Love that. So just to recap on those four areas, the first one was understanding the buying behaviors and the likes and the pain points of your ideal client, and not using any industry buzzwords, which is that I love that last one, because a lot of people will use buzzwords that are particular to their industry that no one else uses. And I think that's really just a powerful value bomb right there. Number two, using a question that speaks directly to your ideal client so that they can buy in. Three, making sure that you choose the vertical. And number four, testing.
Absolutely. 100%.
Brilliant. So, Oz, it sounds like you've had a very entrepreneurial career, starting off, you know, at the flea market at 7 years old. What was your very first grown-up business, I guess, like coming out of college?
The first grown-up business was, again, it was like a stand at a flea market,
mm-hmm.
selling sunglasses and purses and whatnot. I did that for 2 summers in my last year.
Yep.
On my first day, I did $900, which was, for a college kid, that's a lot of money.
Yep.
Almost all of my friends were working at Burger King or diners and whatnot, and possibly making maybe $50 to $100 a day, and I put $900. So it was like a pocket full of cash. Then I started doing that every weekend. Since you see an opportunity, of course, you want to jump on that.
Yeah.
So that taught me a lot about human behavior. What you got to test different products. Testing comes from that for me, because in a flea market, I had different products. One was selling more than the other one. I wanted to understand why that was the case. Well, was it because of my location? Because in a flea market business, you travel from one location to another, and you find out that a product that sold last week 5 times more than the other one this week is not selling. So those kind of things kind of intrigue my interest quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that pushed me to read more about human psychology, the buying behavior, buying signs, and all of that is all part of the marketing, right? Once you understand your market, doing marketing for your products or services is much better. Then after I finished college and I was looking for, I'm like, what am I going to do with myself? Obviously, my goal is not to sell merchandise at flea markets. Then I started my web design company, because that was the hot thing back in the day. A lot of old businesses, they wanted to have a website,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't have a company, at least in the area that I was in New Jersey area. So that I was the guy for that. So I was building websites for companies of different sizes. But soon after that, after we've done it for about two and a half years, I started seeing a pattern of responses from my customers. Like, they would be really happy with the website, but they would come back and tell me things like, oh, this website is awesome. Like, we love it, but how do I get people on this website? How do I have people come through the website so they can find my services and they buy my services? Then it dawned on me that what people want is really not the website itself.
Yeah.
They want customers, and website is just a vehicle for that. Then I had the decision to move into more into lead generation and get out of the design part. That was, as a company, that was our transition into understanding lead generation for different industries, different verticals, and how to like look at the shortest distance between where they are and where they want to be, and how can we use the tools that we have in our arsenal to make that happen as fast as. So then our company became much more of a results-driven company than like a design or branding type of company. So that was a transformation. That has been the transformation we go through. And right now, we're a full-fledged lead generation company. And also, besides local marketing stars, I teach other entrepreneurs how to do the same thing that we're doing here, how to help other businesses get steady streams of leads and incomes and sale through online marketing.
Wow. What I heard coming through that more than anything is to listen. It's almost like listening to what your client is not saying. Listen to what that hasn't even been said, because, and I really understand this because I have people coming to me sometimes say, oh, you know, I'm looking for an SEO expert. They're not necessarily looking for an SEO expert. It's asking, well, what is it that you actually want? What's the outcome? And by you listening to the pain points and listening to what wasn't being said was how you transformed your business into what it is today.
Yeah, change is mandatory in business, right? If you do not change, you don't have any chance of survival, and you're so true in what you said. Some of the things do not change, such as what the customers tell you and what they really mean. You don't know what you don't know, pretty much. The customers heard that if they had, for example, a proper SEO done on their website, they would get more clients. But that could be a symptom, but that might not be the real problem. Like so many times I sit down and talk to the customers, potential customers, and they tell me, oh yeah, we need more Facebook. We need to be active on social media. We need to be writing more blogs. We need to be doing this. They have a huge list of things and then want to find out if they can accommodate to that or not. And I kind of usually put their list aside and I said, let's talk about your business. Let's find out what's really going on here. And more often than not, you find out that the problem is not using more of the tools. The problem is that either they have a problem of bringing more potential customers through the pipeline, or they have a sales problem. When they do come in, they don't have a system in place that would convert interested parties into paying clients. And now it's like having multiple holes in your bucket and you're asking me to pour more water. I can put more water, but you know, it's going to come from one end and go from the other end if you don't fix those problems. So if that's the case, I call them out. I said, listen, your problem is not so much online marketing or how often you post on Facebook. Your problem is that you don't have a system to close more sales. Mm. Because let's be honest, when you build a customer base, the easiest way to double your income is to sell more to the customers who already paid you, right? They already pulled their credit card and paid you, and they trusted you and they used your services. If you have a solid sales process and referral process in place, you can still do social media, but that's not going to be a big problem enough that you want to bring me in. Your problem is more on what's happening. What is the internal conversation that's happening within your company when someone comes to the website? What is the process? So business owners have a tendency to take the problem away from themselves and like put it out there thinking they're missing something and that's why something is not happening. Usually what they're missing is within their organization, and when they fix things, what they have, the opportunities that they have could be just enough to get them going. Then they can focus about multi-channel marketing. I'm all about adding multiple channels to feed your company. But the worst thing you can do is without having a system, try to do multi-channel marketing, because it's one thing to do one thing wrong in one channel. It is another thing to multiply that mistake across so many multiple channels. Figure out, just clog the holes, then you can have a steady flow of leads. And that's when you start to scale your business. That's why you don't have this income roller coaster. One month you're doing great, next month it's down and you can't figure out what the hell is going on with the industry. Is it the politics? Is it the weather? Or is it your customers? Or is it your salespeople? So whether they talk to you or some other expert or myself, I think every business needs to sit down and write down every process that they have or lack of it in their business. I think that's going to open so many doors, and that's the job of the business owner. I don't think that's one thing that you cannot really delegate to someone else.
Totally. And for anyone that's listening that thinks that having a website is, you know, the number one thing that's going to suddenly bring you in leads, it's not the case. A website's like plonking a shop or a store right in the middle of the Sahara Desert and expecting people to find you. You know, what Oz just has said is that, you know, it's very important that this process, the system or the pipeline needs to be set up. So a website on its own will not fix your problems.
It will not. And you see so many examples of that. And for, you know, from your audience, if someone is planning to start out and if they're being concerned, oh, I need to spare money for a website, my social presence, my logo, my business cards, the best advice I can give them before you focus on any of that stuff, think about who would be buying your product. Let's say you're selling products to, I don't know, dental offices. Just stop by them or through your friends, find a couple of dentists and interview them and tell them that your goal is not to sell them anything. There's not going to be a sales pitch. You just want to have 15, 20 minutes of their time to ask them questions. And your goal is to understand if that dentist would be a good fit if you were to offer your products and what problems do they really go through. Because you can't really make your product match someone's problem. You got to find out what the problem is, then create a matching product to that problem. Many people make that mistake. So I always suggest everyone, especially if you're starting out or you started out, your business is stagnant and you can't figure out what's going on, stop and just talk to the people who would be buying from you to make sure that you're understanding their problem. And when you talk about what it is that you're trying to accomplish, they see the benefit in that. Yeah. You want to hear, it's like, oh my God, if you had that, I would buy it right now. Like that would be a huge solution to my problem right now. Like, let's talk more about it type of thing. But if you hear things like, yeah, that, I think that would be fine. You can give it a try. Why not? It doesn't hurt. Things like that. So that means you're not deep enough in their problem or that maybe they're not understanding what it is that you're selling. So if you're at that point, the worst thing you can do is spend a couple of $1,000s to build a website on it. Because your product is not ready.
Yeah,
or
totally.
Spend countless hours on your logo, your business card, and all that stuff. Just talk to your future customers first, then design everything based on that.
So that is such valuable advice. And it's certainly something that like right back in the early 90s, when we started our first business, that's exactly what I did. I rang our potential customers, not to sell them anything, just to ask them what were their pain points, what did they have trouble purchasing, you know, and it was actually all of that feedback that at the time we took to the bank to get our loan and start that business. But there was no point starting the business without knowing if there was actually a pain point there, you know, and we were going to have people that would come to buy from us. And this is something that I was chatting to, I interviewed Justin Crane a few episodes ago, and he was also saying, you know, you have to meet the clients or the customers where they're at. Don't try and drag them to somewhere where you would rather be. You have to meet them where they're at. And I'm hearing that you're saying exactly the same thing. And it's really important to know, you know, where the customer is right now. Go to them, meet them where they're at and speak to them in their language and just talk to them and take away their pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so important to understand where they are. To that point, I'm a big follower of Russell Brunson.
Mm.
I'm sure you know his name.
Absolutely. He's everywhere at the moment with his new book.
There's no way you can ignore him. Like, yeah. He's going to buy something from him. But that guy is a genius. He defines the audience and he puts your whatever business you're running, he puts your audience in three separate buckets, three separate categories. The first one is someone who's problem aware. They know that they have a problem about whatever the solution they're looking for. They don't know the solution or they don't know the name of a product that would be solving that problem. They're just problem aware. They know they have a problem. They need a solution. That's the first type of audience. So when you're approaching this audience, you can't be talking about your product name. You can't be talking about how big of a shot you are. You can't be talking about specific solution that you have because they might not know that that would be a solution to their problem. So you got to be talking about their problem. Mm-hmm. So that person is totally cold. They know they have a problem. They don't know anything else. second type of audience is they know what their problem is and they know what their solution is too. So it's like someone who's struggling with their business and they're looking for a business coach, right? They understand the problem. They accept, they acknowledge that there's a problem with their business and they know that they don't know enough or they don't have enough motivation or the skills or the mindset. So they're looking for an outside help from an expert. So they're solution aware. Solution is a coach, but they're not product aware yet. They didn't narrow it down to a specific coach. So the second type of audience, then you can talk about you being the best fit as a coach with your programs and services that you offer and how you can solve the problems that he's having. The third type of audience is the warm sleet. They're aware of their problem. They know the solution. And they know about you or your products. So these are usually existing customers or the people who opted into your email. They might be a part of your email list or a part of a Facebook group, or they might be a friend on your Facebook. They know what it is that you're doing, but they haven't quite, they're not over the fence yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your marketing to that person will be totally different because if you just go all the way back to their original problem, you might lose them because it might seem too simple. At that level, you got to talk about why your product or service is the best fit for them to solve their problem immediately. So once you, when you have a business, no matter where you are, I think everyone needs to create these three buckets to, when they're targeting these separate, groups of people, you require a specific message, maybe specific lead magnet, specific page on your website, because these people are three different people altogether.
Wow, that's really, really awesome. To know those three different types of ways to advertise to make sure that you're getting your message across, and makes so much sense. Oz, for anyone that's listening that wants to stay connected with you and learn more about what you've been talking about, how can they do that?
They can contact me through localmarketingstars.com, or we can connect on Facebook. We have an awesome private group where I talk about specific strategies on how to run Facebook campaigns. Whether you're running it for yourself or you want to make an income by helping other businesses run Facebook ads, they can connect with me on Facebook and I'll send an invitation to our private group.
Wonderful. Oz, we've chatted about so much today. You've delivered a ton of value bombs. If there was one thing that you could wrap this interview up with that someone could say, yeah, this is the most important thing that we could walk away, you know, from this, listening to this half an hour, what do you think that would be?
For a business owner, I think the most important thing is look around other companies who are doing what it is that you're doing. You got to watch out for two things. If no one is doing what you're doing, you're in great danger that your concept is not going to work. If there are companies who are doing what you're doing, look for the best and reverse engineer their marketing process. It is, I'm sure that company tried and tested everything to get to that level. For you to reinvent the wheel doesn't make sense. Just learn from your competition and just see what it is that they're doing and pretty much repeat it. For example, on my desktop, I have one folder. Then if I see a competitor's ad on Facebook, I take a screenshot of that and I copy and paste it in that folder. I have thousands of pictures over there where I get my inspiration. When I'm writing an ad copy, I go back and check. And because you can tell how well the ad is doing if it has 10,000 likes and shares and comments on it. So you take a look at it and you try to understand why it did better than your ad or your future ads. So I think one assignment that everyone needs to do is just go back. I'm sure if you're a business, you know your competitors, find out the best one and try to understand their marketing, online marketing, just reverse engineer it and see what parts of that you can apply right away.
Oz, that's wonderful advice. Thank you so much for sharing just so much value with us today. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
I truly enjoyed it. Thanks for having me, Samantha.
The biggest benefit from having your own business is freedom, the freedom to work when you choose, to create the income you want, and to create your perfect life. The reality is it's not always easy though, so it's important to surround yourself with the right people. Join us in my free Facebook community at the Freedom Fast Track and surround yourself with a network of business owners and entrepreneurs who are out there walking their talk just like you. The Freedom Fast Track, because it's time to take your business and life to a whole new level. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Unlimited Influence Podcast. You'll find the show notes over at theaccelerantgroup.com. It's your time to shine.